I'm proposing that the International Olympic Committee have come up with some kind of sanctions against China for not living up to their obligations.
If the International Olympic Committee had any testicles, they would have said this in the first place. But I did hear a new word that I thought was real interesting for book. Did I tell you this?
No.
Freeware.
Baby, check this out. I've got something to say. Man, it's so loud in here. When they stop the drum machine and I can think again.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to everyone about anything. And tonight, we have episode 47 for the week of August 7th. I'm here with my co-host, Max.
I'm Max.
I'm the Penguin. I'm the Penguin.
You're the Fabulous Penguin.
The Fabulous Penguin. Thank you, Manhattan Man.
Yep.
And tonight, we have a wide-ranging show. We're going to do a little of this, a little of that.
A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants.
Absolutely. We've done that before. We're going to do it again. I think we'll start with the serious and work toward the banal. Sound
I prefer
good?
Banal, yeah.
Banal, okay. Banal, yeah, banal. Yeah. I don't care how you say it.
I always preferred starting with the serious and working towards the banal because it's better to end with a joke.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Keep them laughing, especially on the way out.
That's right.
All right. So tomorrow, the 2008 Olympics begin.
Yes.
I wanted to kind of deal with some issues that I have with what's been going on. And I'm not going to talk about Tibet. I'm not going to talk about specifics. It's not as important to talk about specifics as it is to talk about the whole general assumption that what the Olympics are supposed to be and what do you do when the country doesn't live up to those standards. All right?
All right.
For China, we have some issues with their human rights record. And we're having some problems now.
Yes.
We're having some problems now with their allowing internet access to the journalists who are covering the Olympics. Now, both of these things were supposed to have been covered or quote unquote improved in order for the International Olympic Committee to give China the 2008 Olympics.
Right.
And to me, it seems as if we should be able to say right now that they are not living up to those international Olympic standards.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. They're trying to make adjustments on the fly, I think.
Right. But certainly the journalists do not have unfettered internet access, number one.
Right.
Number two, they are going through the country and they are arresting or gathering together all these dissidents.
Apprehending?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
They're grabbing
detaining,
them.
And, detaining.
Yes.
Detaining and surveilling those who they fear might disrupt the games.
Right.
So you get no internet, not true internet access. They're detaining people like that, and their human rights record has not improved significantly. And so I think that we really need to be speaking about the whole idea of sanctions for China. I mean, countries want to have the Olympics. It is an economic and cultural boom.
And prestige is
All part of it.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're not going to live up to the standards, then I think that you have to have sanctions. And that's what I'm proposing tonight. I'm proposing that the International Olympic Committee have come up with some kind of sanctions against China for not living up to their obligations for the Olympics.
Well, I agree with you that it's the right kind of concept. I think that they've taken advantage of – oh, I almost said Western generosity. That's not right. World public opinion, and they've gotten a huge benefit, but they're not living up to being good international citizens.
Right.
And they're not doing what they said.
Right. My
first question is, how do you sanction them after the fact? They have the Olympics now.
Well, I knew you would, Max. I knew that you would ask that question.
Yeah.
This is what I came up with. I don't quite understand the whole thing about what's the difference between the Olympics and like the World Cup competition kind of things.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I know that every 2 years you have an Olympics, and then, you know, you have the Olympics, and then 2 years later you have the World Cup in a lot of these different sports.
Right.
You know, like, for example, for soccer and for baseball and for, you know, for skiing, you have a World Cup. I mean, for all of these things, you have these World Cup events.
Right.
And I don't know how the International Olympic Committee controls it, but I would say that what you got to do is you got to ban China from participating. Don't let them participate in the Soccer World Cup 2 years from now.
Do they
tell them they can't go? I believe they do. Tell them they can't go.
They're not.
Tell China that they cannot participate in the Baseball World Cup 2 years from now. Tell them they can't participate in the Swimming World Competition 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them do that. That's number one. You know,
right.
Number two, don't get, if they do qualify for next year's Olympics, you could say that if you do not improve what you had said that you would improve upon, you can't come to the 2012 Olympics. I don't know where they are. Are they?
I don't know either.
In the United States, part of them, London.
Is that right?
Just said it's London.
Yeah.
So I say if they don't. They have an opportunity to improve, and if they don't improve by 2012, don't let them come there.
Yeah, I understand in principle, like I said, but countries have.
And I think that you go further than that too.
Go ahead.
Countries
have withheld their own participation. I don't know that they've ever said no, you can't come.
And I think that that's the key. The United States saying, we're not going to go to the Olympics like we did whatever year that was, 68.
1980.
Okay, that didn't accomplish anything.
Okay.
We cut off our own nose to spite our face.
Right.
We said, we don't agree with what you're doing, so we're not going. And so what happens? The East Germans and China and several
Russians.
Other countries, the Russians went nuts. They won all the medals. They hold the medals up in the air. And they feel good about themselves, and that accomplished nothing. But if you say, China, you can't go to the 2012 Olympics because of your poor success in dealing with, you know, the...
behavior issues.
Whatever, right, you know, all that. And, you know, you give them, you ban them from 2010 World Cup competition. You tell them that they can't come to the 2012 Olympics unless they improve, and then you follow through on that.
Well,
and I also think that you don't allow them, you immediately strip them of the right to use the Olympic symbols because you know they're stamping it on every one of those little doll things that they're making.
Yeah.
You know, so you take away their license to do that, and so you hit them where their pocketbook is too.
They've never been – they don't respect the American licenses now. They're ripping off stuff just as fast as they can.
Right. But again, it's because the International Olympic Committee doesn't put the pressure on it. If you say to
it's because
187
China,
countries.
It's because China does whatever it wants. And more importantly, I think, would have to persuade other nations to go along with you.
There's 187 participating in the Olympics, and you say to them, if you import... if you import Chinese Olympic paraphernalia after their license has been revoked to produce that, then you don't come to the 2012 Olympics either. Because if you violate that, then you don't come either.
I know what you're saying, and it's first of all, they're gonna say no. The Chinese are gonna say fuck you.
Right, but of course they are.
The other thing is. The other big countries, so to speak. And, yeah, we could probably get Britain to go along with us. We're not going to get France to go along with us. And ultimately, it's going to rise or fall on whether the Russians say, yes, we support this 100%, or no, we don't. And right now, Boris Yeltsin likes to poke his finger. Boris Yeltsin, listen to me. Vladimir Putin likes to poke his finger in our eye. Right. I don't see any way to actually make it happen. I like the idea in theory, but I think it's not real likely.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think it's real likely, but that doesn't mean it's not right.
Well, I agree, but we are, and I believe, like you said, that this is right, but we are imposing our standards. George Bush today made a speech and said, you know, China really needs to do a lot more for opening up rights and free speech and religious tolerance and all of this stuff. And the Chinese answer was, don't tell us what to do.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? This is not only our thing. This is the International Olympic Committee. The International Olympic Committee said, we will award you this 2008 Olympics if you make the following promises: that you will improve your human rights record, that you will give unfettered internet access, that you will not round up the dissidents or people who disagree with you and imprison them, yada, 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 yada. And then they did it anyway, and so now it's time to provide them with some sanctions. That's my feeling.
Well,
screw them.
I don't disagree with you, but the way to do it would have been to say, do this and this and this and this, and then we'll give you the Olympics. This is why I feel like bribery was probably involved.
It probably was.
The Chinese have a shitload of money. And how easy is it to bribe, you know, the 180 top international Olympic officials? We know there's corruption in the Olympic selection. You know, they could go, oh, yeah, we could do all of these Western open policy efforts, initiatives, or we can just bribe the International Olympic Committee. We've got money coming out our ass.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I understand.
If the International Olympic Committee had any testicles, they would have said this in the first place. They would have done what you suggest and said, fine, you're improving.
Right.
Put in another bid in 4 years. And then 4 years later, when they got some improvements, they would have said, fine, you're improving. Put in another bid in 4 years.
Right.
And hung it out as a carrot. I believe the carrot works better than the stick in this case.
Well, then I think that they need to do something, and that would be my
Sure, absolutely. Here's the thing that maybe this is ironic, but that I have to bring up. Isn't it almost as silly for the Chinese government to try to put a cork in the bottle of international information in this day and age?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, because they're not going to be ultimately successful. But
no, they're just raising the ire of all of the people that they're repressing. Let me tell you a story. Somebody I know, whose name shall remain nameless, but sounds a lot like the Kelvinator, has a friend who moved to China for a period of time.
Right.
And there was all this jazz and razzmatazz about the telephone connection and how expensive it would be. So he bought an internet $39.99 telephone, voice over IP. I can't think of the name of the company. One of the ones that advertises on TV. And the people call from their New York State phone number, even though they're in China. It costs them $40,
right?
And they have unlimited voice over IP internet telephone. Go ahead and stop that. Yeah, they can control certain routers, and put a bottleneck on certain things. But we have wireless broadband now. How are they going to stop the guy from the New York Times who's plugged in his wireless broadband card and is talking on the phone? Sort of on his computer.
You're right. They can't, and they'll come to that conclusion eventually. But
it reminds me of the boy in the dike. You know, this thing's just going to spring. My old friend Brian had the theory that it was the internet that brought down the Soviet Union.
Right.
That he was communicating way back in 1990 with people, dissidents from the Soviet Union. They were getting their information.
Right. Sure.
You know, they can still keep people, and you know me, I'm not religious, but I don't want to keep people from gathering and doing their religious thing if they want to. But they're trying to repress religion. You know, let it go.
Right. Well, look, this is a huge topic.
Yeah, it is.
So big, as a matter of fact, that we're going to do a whole special Olympic veganza on our next episode. So let's save some of this.
All right.
Some of this stuff for that.
I wondered when we got started if it was going to be too big of a subject.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course.
It's the Olympics. It's 2 weeks. It starts tomorrow, or it started yesterday.
We'll be talking about it for the next 2 weeks. So.
Right.
And probably after that, too.
Yep. What else you got?
Okay, well, what we got is that, as people may know, we've been kicking around a few ideas about kind of getting back to our roots, our podcast roots. And so what we decided was, what Max and I decided was that we were going to sort of combine the topic that we called Dumb Not So Dumb and the bit that we called News of the Weird, kind of put them together, come up with a brand new name, and just kind of deal with, you know, a few of these. I mean, these things reflect our motto.
Which is,
one of our mottos, you know, dealing with the idiocy of the world one idiot at a time.
Right. So we put the question to Manhattan Man. We said, what should we call this new segment?
This new segment, right?
and
Manhattan Man, as always.
Hit it on the first try. We were passing back all kinds of guesses, and Manhattan Man comes up with penguin droppings. Right. And here they are.
And here they are. All right. Well, I'm going to run right for the best one, Max, because this is the one that when you posted this one to me, I thought that this was absolutely bizarre.
The rum tum tumbly.
The European Union allows fruits and vegetables only to be sold in prescribed sizes and colors.
Mm-hmm.
And has rules like that cucumbers must be straight and bananas must be curved. Which I'm not going to go there.
There was no mistaking that invitation.
No, absolutely not. And this news article that you posted talks about that they have like 10 pages of standards for the Onion, 19 amendments to those 10 pages, 29 pages and 43 photographs for refinements that the Dutch wanted to add to this whole thing. You know, some guy complained because he had to throw away literally 5,000 kiwi because they were 1 millimeter too small and a quarter ounce too light. And it's illegal to give them away because that undermines the market price. So, I mean, this is how dumb can you possibly be when you start doing stuff like that? We're just way too overregulated.
Well, they are for sure. And this is one case when you got to give it to the good old USA. It is freeing up the market is the way to go. If you don't like the kiwi fruit that's a quarter ounce too light, buy the other one. You know,
absolutely.
This one's worth a quarter. This one's worth a quarter. Take the one you like and throw away the frickin' rule book.
You know, one of the things that I learned from watching the Fruit Network, is the
Denali watches the Fruit Network.
Right. I'm not sure if Italy is part of this
European Onion.
European Union. I'm not sure if they are, but I mean their whole thing about their marketplace is just unbelievably good. I mean everybody who goes there to shop, every one of those little Italian women, you know, it feels that they are entitled to the absolute best fruit or the best, you know, best produce or whatever. And they go to the market and they talk to the market keeper and he shows them what he's got. And if they don't like it, they walk away and go somewhere else. They take their business elsewhere, you know. Yeah. And I mean, to me, that's the way it should be. Not 12 pages of stuff about, you know, how you should have, you know, curved bananas and.
Right.
250, 35 pages of regulations on the apple. I mean, that's just nuts.
The Dutch Ministry of Agriculture recently issued a report urging further refinements using 29 pages and 43 photographs.
I mean, come on. Get rid of it.
Well, and that was the problem, is almost all of the things that we did dumb nuts or dumb were really fucking dumb.
And this just kind of continues it, but it gives us a different outlet. I like it better.
Yep.
I like it better because we make no bones about it. These things are dumb.
Yeah, it's no question. This is dumb. Okay.
Speaking of dumb, here we go to Britain. Okay, this was my favorite of all the ones that you posted. This was my favorite one.
Okay.
The fruit one drove me nuts, but this was Okay, the June transfer of a prisoner from a lockup in Britain's Northampton Crown Court just across the street. Just across the street required summoning the closest prison van, which was 57 miles away, to give him a ride. The prisoner couldn't be simply walked across the street because officials feared that public custodial exposure, the perp walk, would embarrass him in violation of his human rights. In the United States, we film the perp walk.
We
love the perp walk. We cover OJ's handcuffs with a jacket so that we make sure that you know that he's handcuffed.
Well, that's a little better than leaving the handcuffs out there, I guess.
Right, I guess.
And there is the possibility that an innocent person could be handcuffed. But this all goes to, where do you draw the line? Walk the fucking guy across the street.
The line is a straight line from the courthouse across the street to the prison. It's not calling something from 47 miles away or 57 miles away to transfer him.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's silly.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Dumb.
Really dumb. Really, really dumb. So now the next one, which is one that I found.
Okay.
This one's real, real popular right now. There's a lot of people talking about this. That is, did they find poo on Mars?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Winnie the Pooh. I'm talking about this whole Phoenix lander experiment that's been going on with Mars. Now, you raised an interesting point when we were talking last night I know we have email and snail mail. What do we call regular phones now that we talk on the internet phone?
Snail phone?
Snail phones? Is that what they're? Is that what?
No, no, I don't know. But I did hear a new word that I thought was real interesting for book. Did I tell you this?
No.
Treeware.
Treeware. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it.
So phone.
Okay. So when we were talking on the phone last night, when I said to you that that NASA had alerted the White House to a quote-unquote major new Phoenix lander discovery concerning the potential for life, you went nuts because that means that they briefed George Bush on this.
Well, that means that he gets to decide.
Right.
If there is a huge science story, we put it in the hands of George fucking Bush.
To decide whether or not we hear it or not.
To decide whether or not we hear it. Now, we just said all this stuff, which my liberal side is willing to totally put aside because it's stupid, about government regulation. And then we take science and we put it in the hands of this toad.
So actually, there's really two questions here. The first question is that, do you think that a quote-unquote major new Phoenix lander discovery concerning the potential for life is a big deal? And the second issue is that if they found poo on the red planet, or if they found little green men on the red planet, would they let us know? And by us, I mean
the public,
citizens of the United States.
Yeah.
The public.
Yeah.
So take a shot at one, then take a shot at the other. Is it a big deal if they found major new
it's
discovery?
It's a big deal that they found water ice on Mars.
Okay.
It's a big deal that they found the bacteria. Not bacteria. That would be it. The what seems
fossils
like
fossils of bacteria, or
what it seems like
the excrement
of bacteria. Right. Yeah, that's huge. especially since, and I'm going to go right to it, there's a war in this country between science and religion, and science is the only one that can prove its facts.
Right.
And we've got stuff going on in Titan that's going to be huge. We now have, maybe already found, huge, huge news on Mars. It's going to disrupt people's theories about what's going on and what has gone on and, you know, how the universe is. It's going to disrupt people's weird views, worldviews.
Worldviews.
It's absolutely big.
All right. This is my take on it. I don't think it's all that big news. And here's why. If you find little green men, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
But if you find pee or poop,
yeah,
possibility, I don't think it's that big a news. Because it's not going to change anybody's basic opinion. If you have people who can believe that the world is flat, if you have people that can believe that the world is only 6,000 years old and that we have nothing to do with Darwin and all those other evolution ideas, then if we tell them that we found pee on Mars or poop on Mars, not going to change their opinion whatsoever. If we tell them we got some little green men here,
yeah,
I think that I think is bigger. But the flip side of that is the second question. I don't think this country is going to tell us anything if they found little green men.
Well,
I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists who think that, you know, that aliens landed at Roswell, New Mexico, at Area 51, and were hiding them. Like they said in Independence Day or any of those other things. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say that if UFOs were spotted, if aliens did land, if any of that stuff ever happened, we're not going to hear it from the United States government.
Well, it might be possible that you're right about we're not going to hear from the United States government, but this gets back to my point about aliens. It's the nearest star is thousands of light years away, which means that aliens traveling at the speed of light, if that were possible, which we know it's not, would have spent thousands of years, probably thousands of generations, to get here.
Right.
If they got
here. Yeah, but if Star Trek taught you anything, if Star Trek teaches you anything, you know that they would have come up with some sort of mechanism to travel that we don't understand.
Folding space.
Yeah.
Well,
even
if, you know, and I confess I don't know a lot about science, but my understanding of a black hole is it's not really a hole. It's
right.
A giant gravity well. And when you go in it, you get ripped apart.
Not even light can escape.
Right. So the idea that someone's traveling through a black hole, as far as I can tell, is utterly impossible. If I'm a little green man, and my great 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 grandfather sent me out here to go meet the people of Earth, and somebody said, George Bush thinks we shouldn't tell anybody about you, I'm going to go, who the fuck is George Bush? I'm going to Cleveland. You know, I've got a spaceship.
I'm going to Kentucky, man. They believe it down there. Right?
I want to see the Traverse Stakes. I ain't fucking sitting in Washington because George Bush says, shh. I'm sorry, I don't think they can keep it quiet.
Yeah, but, you know, the reality is it wouldn't have been George. I mean, back then in Roswell, it wouldn't have been George Bush. I mean, you know, this whole thing would have been a conspiracy to keep this a secret for generations. One of the most interesting things
I know what happened in Roswell.
Go ahead.
The Air Force was launching balloons, spy balloons,
right,
to study the Soviet Union for nuclear tests. And one of the balloons crashed. There was actually repressing of information going on. There were government officials who said, you talk about this, you're fucking dead. But it was about American spying and nothing more.
Next dropping.
Yep.
artist Michael Fernandez exhibit in Nova Scotia caused a commotion because it was merely a banana on a windowsill.
I love Fernandez, the quote from this.
Right. Fernandez had it priced at $2,500 Canadian, down from his original, which was $15,000 Canadian. But he had expenses because Fernandez chains banana every day, eating the old one.
Right.
And he placed progressively greener ones out there to show the demonstrate the banana's
transitoriness.
That's right. We humans are also temporal, but we live as if we are not, he said. Despite the deep price, two collectors placed holds on the quote unquote work.
Right. The banana.
Right. The gallery co-owner said, "It's a banana. You understand it's a banana, right?" Sounds like Keith Olbermann.
Right.
It was a banana. You understand it's a banana, right?
It's a banana. You want to pay $15,000 for a banana? It's a banana.
Right. That's pretty dumb.
I think that's one of the dumbest things I've heard in a long time. And it makes a really interesting point about art. I mean, how much are we sheepish about art?
Is something like that any different from somebody taking like a 2-year-old's scatterings on a page and posting it and people paying big money for it because they think it's art, or somebody, you know?
No, it's a banana.
It's
a banana. I have kids' art. I love kids' art. There's expression, there's emotion, there's passion, there's color.
Well, you remember Yoko Ono. I mean, remember that?
That's not art.
When she met John Lennon, it was because she had climbed to the top of a tall ladder and had stuck something on the ceiling of the art gallery.
Is that right?
And Lennon climbed all the way up it
to examine what
it was. And it was some ridiculous quote about, gee, don't you feel stupid that you climbed up this ladder and now you're looking at this card with words on it or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So speaking about art, though, this was my This was a great one. The Iowa judge who ruled that nude dancing is art.
Is this your favorite one?
Well, it's not my favorite, but I thought it was the one of the more interesting ones that we've ever had.
Can I get the nude dancer for $15,000?
Only if she sits on the windowsill, right?
I thought you were going to say, only if she brings a banana.
Well, there you go. So the problem was that this woman who was 17 climbed up on the stage in this Hamburg theater and stripped.
Yeah.
And she got arrested and they ended up taking away the club's license. And the club fought it because the rule says, the law there says that Iowa's indecent exposure law does not cover theaters, museums, and other venues devoted to the arts or theatrical performances. And so they fought it on the grounds that stripping is a theatrical performance.
Right.
It's art.
Right. This gets into trouble because of the age of the girl.
Uh-huh.
If she were 18, and I know it seems like a minor distinction, haha, no pun intended, but it is a distinction that the law makes.
Right.
But yeah, hey, art is art. You know, they took their clothes off in Hair. I'm sure that there's a million plays you could name where
sure,
the people were
absolutely.
Naked at one time or another. Equus, the kid's naked.
Did I tell you that I was absolutely blown away by the nativity?
I think
the nakedness in Equus. Because
really?
I didn't have a clue that it was there.
Oh.
And I was in college at the time.
Yeah.
And they had seating on the stage in New York.
I was in that seating.
I was in that seating too.
Yeah?
And
on
I
stage
actually
in New York?
Saw right, yes. And I actually saw Christopher Reeves because he was preparing to do the movie. And he went on Broadway for several weeks to kind of, you know, work through the play.
He played Alan Strang?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And he was there, and he did it. And when he took all his clothes off.
You were shocked. There's a naked boy running around
shocked.
On stage.
Yeah, and I wasn't. It wasn't. I'm not a prude. God knows, I'm not a prude. It had nothing to do with that. I just. It was something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And boom, there he was, naked.
Yeah, I was Super prepared for it, so yeah, I wasn't surprised by it. Yeah.
Those are great seats.
Well, they're great seats. At one point,
I wish I had those seats for that theater in Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. When I saw it on stage, I saw Leonard Nimoy playing. The psychology professor. And at one point, he leaned right over the railing of the stage seating and looked right at me, saying his lines. And I thought, "Oh man, just give me your autograph." You know, like total geekdom. But right. Yeah, I saw him playing the shrink. The whole point of the show was passion. So the idea that the kid would get naked, in a barn with these horses that he loved was an important element to display his passion. And
hey, I like baseball, but I ain't stripping naked to play it or watch it.
Well, I guarantee you Pudge Rodriguez ain't stripping naked to play it.
No, no, absolutely not.
There's at least one bit of the uniform you want to wear.
Right. Absolutely.
But
hey,
yeah.
Listen, our time's almost up.
Oh, my God, already?
I know. But listen, we got to do a few. We started last week. We got to do a few. What's bugging Max and the Penguin?
Okay.
All right? I got two quick ones. We don't have time to talk about them too much. But
all right, go ahead.
Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to open a box of cereal? Not the box itself, but the damn plastic bag inside.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? Why do they have to make it so impossible to open? This isn't like, prescription pill bottles. It's a box of cereal. Make it easy to open it. Put a slide thing on there. Make it so you can open the damn crackers or the cereal box. Come on. I can't be spending 10 minutes opening my box of cereal in the morning.
I don't even mind opening the box of cereal and taking a long time if it doesn't explode when I finally get it to give
right.
up.
And you're chasing Cheerios all over the kitchen
That's right.
floor.
Because I will win. If it's between me and the bag inside the Cheerios box, I'm going to win. But I might only have three Cheerios left when I'm done.
Right. Well, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing that drives me nuts is when they put on the side of the coffee cup, contents are hot. I mean, is this the dumbing down of America?
Yeah, it is.
Look, I know it's about litigation.
Yeah.
I know that's, but listen, from my perspective, if you go and you say, I'd like a cup of hot coffee, and they give you the cup, you got to figure that the coffee's hot. I don't think they need to put a label on the side that says it's hot. Difference between coffee that's 170 degrees or 175 degrees, they don't need to warn you. You should know it's hot. Now, it's different if the guy at the window is fooling around and he spills the coffee on you and you get burned.
Watch out, that
coffee's different. That's different.
Yeah.
I'm talking about contents are hot. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, it all stems directly from that infamous McDonald's cup case.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Well, you got to put something on the label.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't have a big problem with it. Maybe it would be, if you want to take it to the logical extreme, you should say contents are at 175 degrees. And then when, Dunkin' Donuts comes out with their 150 degree coffee, you can go, oh, not so hot.
Or their 37 degree coffee.
Right.
I mean, nobody's ever sued them, I guess, for spilling iced coffee on their lap, but they probably could, too.
They probably could. Yeah, when they start putting contents are cold on a culotta, then maybe you...
Contents may be really cold.
Don't put this on your balls.
Right. So listen, I know you had two on your blog. I read your blog religiously.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
I said this before. I get on my knees and I say, please don't let Max write any more of this stuff in his blog. You always keep doing it. You had two. You had your 5 cents off.
Yes.
And you had the Mirabito.
Mirabito is a local oil company. And in the town that I live in, we pay 10 cents a gallon more than the modestly big town that's 45 miles away. And the oil company resides in my town. And I just think...
So it should cost them less to get it to the gas station.
It should cost them less. Plus, out of loyalty, it should be 5 cents a gallon less than the towns around here for all the local people who want to, you know. I mean, these people play basketball with their kids. They go to the same high school. And when they go to the pump, they're getting ratched for 10 cents a gallon more than the people who go to this high school would if they went 45 miles down the road. It's not right. It's immoral, and it's greedy. That's all I got to say about that. Yeah, the other thing that bugs me is when you go to a gas station, and it's not just them. In this case, it's a bunch of them. And they say, well, sign up for this card. You know, give us your personal information. And we'll give you 5 cents off on the, you know, your next gallon of gas.
On a gallon, right.
Right. When a gallon of gas was $1 a gallon, 5 cents was 5%. You know, if you made it a dime a gallon when it was $1 a gallon, you'd get a 10% discount. Oh, that's nice.
Right.
But now you're talking about 5 cents a gallon on $4 a gallon gasoline, and all of a sudden it's, what,
one and a quarter percent.
Am I going to give you my fucking mailbox address for 1.25%?
So that they can fill it with spam and ads and stuff?
Right. There's no way. They're making out like a fortune, and I'm getting screwed again. No fucking way am I giving you my information for 5 cents a gallon. Look, I can fill up my tank for 13 gallons.
Right.
That means 65 cents I can get on a tank.
65 cents you can save.
You know, if I put another 65 cents with that, I can buy a cup of hot coffee at their inside station. Right. Fuck them. I don't want 5 cents.
But at least it'll say on the side of the cup that the contents are hot.
At least it'll say it's hot.
Listen, we're out of here. But before we go, Max, did you do your homework from last week? Do you remember what
it was? Yes, I did. I searched and searched for hours on end to try to find
on the internet
what is the plural of dolphin. And turns out it's dolphins.
So there is an S. So there the Miami S. Dolphins is correct.
Right.
And I that one off our list.
And I quick looked up Marlin, and it is Marlin's. It is Marlin, no S, but it says in there, I forget exactly the term, not favored usage or unacceptable usage, common usage, however they say it is with an S. But the accepted term for the plural of Marlin is Marlin.
Well, you get an A+ for your homework for this week. Keep up the good work. We'll get you to pass this class yet.
I hope so.
Listen, Max, it's great as always.
It was fun.
Always fun. All right. Say goodnight, Max.
Goodnight. But I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.